VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network. The state of Texas has been overrun by those entering their state and, I should say, our country illegally. I mean, the safety of Texas residents has been put in jeopardy. Crime has increased. Public services have been stretched. The health care system has suffered the non-payment of bills. Disease has been brought in, and the list goes on. In the last hour, I was just on the website of the Texas Department of Public Safety. They report this. Now, friends, let me encourage you, buckle your seatbelts here. This is what's being reported by the Texas Department of Public Safety. According to DHS status indicators, over 430,000 criminal aliens have been booked into local Texas jails between June 1, 2011 and February 29, 2024, of which over 301,000 were classified as illegal aliens by DHS. Between June 1, 2011 and February 29, 2024, these 301,000 illegal aliens were charged with more than 517,000 criminal offenses, which included arrests for 960 homicides, 65,369 assault charges, 9,383 burglary charges, 60,675 drug charges, 1,162 kidnapping charges, 26,030 theft charges, 40,320 obstructing police charges, 2,978 robbery charges, 6,543 sexual assault charges, 7,547 sexual offense charges, and 6,320 weapon charges. DPS criminal history records reflect those criminal charges have so far, they have resulted in over 189,000 convictions, including 471 homicide convictions, 23,711 assault convictions, 4,710 burglary convictions, 25,210 drug convictions, 331 kidnapping convictions, 9,765 theft convictions, 15,826 obstructing police convictions, 1,651 robbery convictions, 3,081 sexual assault convictions, 3,431 sexual offense convictions, and 2,045 weapons convictions. Now and there's so many more that are in the courts right now. And friends, Texas has said enough is enough. Because the federal government has refused to follow the law, the Texas legislature and Governor Abbott have stepped up to the plate to deal with this issue. They have pursued blocking illegal entry into their state. They passed legislation making it a crime for an alien to illegally enter Texas. But on every turn, they've been opposed and taken to court by the Biden administration. Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court came to their aid, allowing their law to take effect. But just hours later, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals pulled the rug out from underneath that decision. Well, with the details on this and other immigration matters, we welcome back to Crosstalk Mark Krikorian, nationally recognized expert on immigration issues, serving as executive director of Center for Immigration Studies. They're an independent, nonpartisan research organization examining and critiquing the impact of immigration on the United States. He has testified numerous times before Congress, has published many articles on many outlets. Mark, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you heard the statistics I just quoted from the state of Texas, their Department of Public Safety website. Prominently displayed there, these numbers of criminal offenses and violent crimes are just off the charts. This is one state alone. I mean, it's really staggering, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's what's going to happen when you have an administration that lets in huge numbers of illegal immigrants. The issue is not that illegal aliens are even necessarily more likely to be violent criminals, but that this administration is letting in, literally letting go, taking into custody and then letting go millions, literally millions of people over the past 3 years who have no right to be here. And, of course, some of them are going to be bad guys. And the issue is that every one of those crimes that you listed, if it was committed by an illegal immigrant, is one that shouldn't have happened.
Right.
Even if there's only one murder by an illegal alien in the whole country, that's still one too many because that person shouldn't be here. And the federal government's responsibility is even greater when they had the person in custody and then let them go.
Yeah.
And that's the case for, at this point, probably 3.5 million illegal aliens over the past 3 years.
My. Well, we know both the Texas legislature and Governor Abbott, they have taken a number of steps to protect their state. But every attempt has been opposed by the Biden administration. Let's talk about Senate Bill 4 that's currently been in the news now, which the Texas legislature passed. What exactly did this legislation do?
What the bill did, actually, it's a law, signed into law. What it does is it makes it an offense, a state criminal offense, to enter the United States, to enter Texas from Mexico illegally. And what the Texan, what the Texas legislature did was copy exactly the federal statute so that it doesn't make anything more illegal than it would be under federal law. It simply basically copies federal law, but also makes it a state offense. And that's important because what that does is allow Texas state police or local police to arrest an illegal immigrant that they see crossing the border. And they can then, he can then be prosecuted for a state crime. You don't have to hand them over to the feds. The thing that's even sort of probably got the Biden administration's attention in this bill, even more than that, is that coming illegally into Texas will be a state offense, but the judge can waive the jail time because his first offense, it's 6 months, you know, maximum 6 months in jail. He can waive that if you are escorted to the border and go back into Mexico. So what they're saying, what the administration is saying, is that's deporting them, and the, you know, a state isn't authorized to deport anybody. And Mexico and Texas is saying, we're not deporting them. We're just giving them the option and, you know, driving them to the border, and they walk across the bridge on their own, and that way they save themselves jail time. And so the point is the administration has been suing. No state has done this before, so it's the kind of thing that is going to have to work its way through the courts. It's just being done kind of in a, it's sort of, you're seeing the sausage making, you know, up front where everybody, both sides are filing motions and the courts are kind of responding, you know, quickly. And you're seeing this kind of ping pong policies. What the decisions both ways so far that you're seeing from the Supreme Court and from the lower appeals court is not about the bill itself. In other words, whether it is allowed, whether it's constitutional or not. All of the stuff you're seeing in the press is about whether the bill can go into effect before there's been a final decision made about whether it's legal or not. In other words, during the trials and all of that, can the law go into effect anyway? And then, you know, then the courts will decide after that.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. And I'm going to guess that it's probably going to stay the way it is now, which is that the law is on ice and can't be, I mean, it's frozen and can't be enforced until it gets to the Supreme Court, which might be after there's a new administration next year and make the whole thing kind of moot, probably.
Wow, wow. So I understand this legislation was passed this last December, but within 10 days, the Department of Justice, you know, went right away to the courts and, well, threatened to sue Governor Abbott if he enforced it, and then actually did file a complaint in federal court to say, hey, this whole thing is unconstitutional.
Right. That was and the Texas passed it. Governor signed it. But it was but in the law, it said this will not go into effect until March. And so they didn't, the feds didn't wait till March. They just immediately sued to try to stop the thing. And it's been bouncing around the courts, you know, and there's multiple levels of federal courts. There's district court, there's circuit court, there's the Supreme Court, and mm-hmm. it sort of bounces back and forth around them. So the point is the feds, the Biden administration does not want Texas to enforce the law that it itself, the administration, is not enforcing. What they're saying is we get to decide if federal law is enforced, and we get to decide that we're just going to ignore federal immigration law, there's nothing you can do about it. And Texas is saying, we disagree. And so we're going to see what happens with the in the courts.
So this did go up to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and
right. And
the United States Supreme Court weighed in on their decision yesterday, and it seemed like all was well and good for Texas to enforce this law, and then things went back to the Fifth Circuit, and things changed. Help us understand what transpired there.
Well, the Supreme Court, again, let me make clear, neither the Supreme Court nor the Circuit Court rendered any decision about the law itself.
Just the procedures.
What the Supreme Court ruled yesterday was that the law could go into effect provisionally while the case is winding its way through the courts, and they sent it back to the lower court, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Fifth Circuit, they're not overruling the Supreme Court, obviously. They don't have authority to do that. They were just saying on their own, okay, this is back in our, you know, back in our court, and so we are going to say that the law has to not be enforced until we make a decision. And it's probably going to stay that way until the whole trial is completed, because that none of that stuff has happened yet. In other words, they haven't even had arguments in court, oral arguments, they call them, where the two sides present their positions. That is, that I think is supposed to be taking place today, but I still don't, they're not going to make a decision on it today. So it's basically the law is on ice until the courts and probably the Supreme Court decides whether or not it's constitutional.
And just to clarify, when you say it's on ice, you're talking about
frozen
ice. Not the immigration
customs. It's frozen. It's in limbo, let me put it that way.
Very fine. And now this was a different panel with the Fifth Circuit, correct? This three-judge panel yesterday that changed their viewpoint on this from...
Right, yeah. Not to get too much in the details, but it's like two people on the panel were different than one was the same from the earlier decision. This is getting really, there's a lot of weeds to get into here. And the fact is that if you're interested in at that level of detail, CIS.org, we've written on it. Andrew Arthur is one of our top people. He's a former immigration judge himself. And so he goes into a lot of detail about the actual workings of what's going on inside the court and inside the rulings.
Many were surprised by the stays or by Justice Alito's interaction. It came to him three different times. Did his action surprise you at all?
Well, you know, in a sense, people assume, and correctly so, that Justice Alito is one of the most conservative members of the court, and he is. I mean, he and Clarence Thomas often are like the only two people, who are, say, dissenting on something that the rest of the court decides differently on. But again, he wasn't ruling here on whether this law is permissible or not. He was ruling on whether it should be allowed to proceed. The law should go into effect before all of the issues have been decided. And because it's such a novel thing, it's just nobody's done this before.
Yep.
I think the courts want to say, give us time so we can work our way through this.
They want to get it right. Friends, we'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, do creationists say that the biblical flood laid down all the fossils?
No, we don't, Chris. Now, we do think that the flood of Noah's day is responsible for most of the fossils in geologic strata, but certainly not all. We talk about a time of residual catastrophism after the flood, which included the Ice Age. During this time, a lot of fossils were formed. Ice Age fossils would typically lie on top of the flood fossils, which came earlier. Now, of course, there are some fossils being formed today in minor catastrophes, minor floods, minor tsunamis. But these are of local extent, not like the fossils in strata from the flood. Chris, the biblical story of Noah's flood is absolutely essential for a full creation understanding. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Mark Krikorian, who is executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. Their website, cis.org. Friends, if you want to know what's going on with immigration-related issues, you will find it there on their site, cis.org. Just a top-notch group of individuals that are there keeping you informed, writing on so many different issues pertaining to our immigration system and covering both that which is those entering our country legally as well as illegally, cis.org. Mark, earlier this year, Governor Abbott said that the federal government has broken the compact between the U.S. and the states and that the executive branch of the U.S. has a constitutional duty to enforce federal laws protecting the states, including immigration laws. He does speak truth here, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And the case that he and others have been making is that the federal government is not protecting the states, and what they're now experiencing should be considered an invasion under the Constitution, because the Constitution says states can't wage war unless they're actually invaded. And so the argument that they have made, it hasn't really fully been litigated, and I don't know if they would even win, but the contention is, look, we're being invaded. We can't be expected to have to just stand by when the federal government will refuse to do the job. We have to be able to have the authority to protect, to defend ourselves, mm-hmm. to protect ourselves. And that's, politically speaking, that's obviously true. The question is, does that come under the definition of an invasion in the Constitution? And, in the meantime, Texas specifically is doing everything they can. They now arrest illegal immigrants if they cross the border onto private land, which in Texas, most of the border is private land, unlike Arizona or California. And so they arrest them. But the problem is with that, you arrest somebody, even if if the local district attorney prosecutes them and he goes to jail for 30 days, then what? If you hand them over to ICE, ICE will just let them go, So the root cause of this is taking a nap in the White House. And so that's ultimately what has to change. States can help, but they can only make a difference kind of around the edges, at the margins. It's the federal government that's got to change its policies ultimately.
So we know how aggressive Texas has been on theirs. What is your assessment on what's happening in Arizona, Southern Cal, just a portion there of New Mexico as well?
Yeah, well, the flow seems to be shifting away from Texas. And this is probably a combination of several things. Texas is, like I said, they're arresting more illegal immigrants who are coming across. They have put up barriers in various places. This has been in the news a lot. Either they put some buoys in the river that it's hard to get across, but they've also put right on the river bank, concertina wire and all of this. And this does seem to have persuaded at least some segment of the smugglers and the illegal immigrants themselves to spend the extra money and time, go an extra 1,000 miles and cross in Arizona and California, where the state governments couldn't care less. They agree with the administration. Mm-hmm. And so but on top of that, the Mexican government has been pressured by the Biden administration to do more, and they're interfering with the flow of illegals in Texas first. And their interest in this is clearly to influence the U.S. election. In other words, they want to do anything they can to get Joe Biden reelected, the Mexicans. And so if stopping the flow of illegals, which generally they have been resistant to do in the past, these are not Mexican illegals, they're foreigners, most of them. They haven't been wild about doing that in the past, but they're willing to do it if it means that they can get Joe Biden reelected. And
wow.
It remains to be seen whether that'll be successful. But when you combine that with what Texas is doing, the flow is moving to Arizona and California, and we'll see if the Mexicans have any interest in interfering with the flow up there. It's not clear whether they are or not. They've done some things in California to break up the flow, but I don't think they can keep it up for 10 months. So it's not like this is going to go away. There'll be some ups and downs in the flows of illegals, but this problem isn't going away until the administration goes away.
Mark, you talked about the flow and coming across the border, but earlier this month, it was reported that the Biden administration was secretly flying illegal immigrants in, some 320,000 to some 43 undisclosed airports around the country. What's going on?
Yeah, that was the report we actually did. We got that information from a Freedom of Information Act request. And they weren't secretly flying them, really. It's a secretive, I think, is a better term,
okay.
Like a stealth
okay.
program. It wasn't some CIA thing, but it's something they just would prefer nobody paid any attention to. And as you described it, you're right, that these are people from nine different nationalities, Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and others, that would be able to use that CBP-1 cell phone app that there's been some reporting on. But instead of showing up at a land crossing, having made an appointment to essentially schedule their illegal immigration, these people can do it, schedule their illegal immigration at a U.S. airport and fly directly from wherever they are into the United States. And for us, what was most alarming, I mean, it's already pretty alarming that the Biden administration let in a third of a million people under this program who have no right to enter the United States. But even more alarming was that the administration's excuse for not telling us what airports they were flying into, because we sued them and they still haven't given us the information. Their excuse was if they told us and it became public, that would be a problem because all of these people are, there's so many people, they're creating security vulnerabilities at U.S. airports. And so, you know, bad actors, as they put it, would get the information and be able to exploit it. Well, so this is a program that they have running, which is frankly legally, it's illegal anyway, is creating security threats at American airports. So why are they even doing it? They've admitted that this is a security threat, and yet they keep doing it, and every day they let in more people.
Okay, so you mentioned these security vulnerabilities, and yet at the same time, we have upheaval that's happening in cities across these United States, and right now it's even focused on many small towns, rural towns, large numbers of illegal aliens that are taxing law enforcement abilities, housing, education, healthcare, social services, and more. I mean, these are communities, Mark, that they didn't declare themselves as sanctuary cities.
Yeah, they haven't. Whereas like New York and Chicago, you figure, well, sort of they have it coming. I mean, that's the thinking behind Governor Abbott's program of busing, giving people free bus tickets to go to New York. But yes, you're getting all kinds of smaller cities, partly because the bigger ones, New York and Chicago and others, are busing the illegals who arrive out to the suburbs to get them out of their own cities. It's kind of like hot potato or something. And so all kinds of places are facing this problem. And, you know, this is what happens when an administration lets in well over a million people. Actually, if you think about the people, the so-called gotaways,
yes,
probably 2 million illegals a year who get into the country under Biden, either because they consciously let them in or because Border Patrol is overwhelmed and isn't able to stop people. 2 million a year, that adds up. They can't all go to New York. They're going to end up being in, you know, communities all over the country.
So last week, it's reported U.S. border officials captured a Lebanese national on the southern border. This Lebanese national told agents he was a member of the Hezbollah terrorist group planning to make a bomb in the U.S. I mean, this really doesn't give us a lot of comfort.
No, it doesn't. Now, it's not clear. This guy might just be crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Hezbollah are not amateurs. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to say, hi, I'm from Hezbollah and I'm here to kill you. You know, it's a you know, professionally run terrorist organization. I think this guy, I don't know what the story is, but in a sense, it almost doesn't matter because there's people coming across from the Middle East all the time. And under Biden, there are so many of them that people from countries of concern, they call them, or special interest aliens. In other words, they may not be terrorists themselves, but they're coming from, you know, Somalia or Syria. And so there's a reason, an extra reason to be concerned about them. In the old days, there weren't that many of them. And so when somebody like that was caught by the Border Patrol, they'd hold on to them an FBI or somebody would come and, like, interview them. They look at their pocket, you know, what's in their pockets. They download their cell phones. They do a more detailed look at the person. They can't do that now because there's thousands of them coming from these countries of concern. And they're not all going to just raise their hand and say, hi, I'm a terrorist, please arrest me. You know, my concern is the ones who don't say that they're terrorists, obviously, and get let go. And I guarantee you that there are people like that, lots of them, dozens, maybe hundreds of them. And we're not, who knows what they're going to do? I don't know, but I don't want to find out. And unfortunately, I think we are going to find out at some point what, you know, what either Chinese saboteurs, Muslim terrorists, who knows what, but we're going to find out and we're going to, you know, we're going to regret this.
Mark Krikorian is with us today, friends. The website CIS.org, that stands for Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. By the way, Mark, what's your reaction to the aftermath of the State of the Union address where President Biden did not lament about the death of Laken Riley being killed by an illegal alien? Rather, he lamented that he used the term illegal instead of the word undocumented.
Yeah, I mean, he was apologizing to the murderer instead of apologizing to the family of the that poor girl who was murdered, which happened because of his policies. Look, if an illegal alien gets in and nobody saw him, he snuck by everybody, he had no interaction with the government, and then commits a crime, it's still kind of the government's fault in an indirect way because they should have done a better job. That was not the case here. They let this guy go. They put him in custody and they let him go. And it turns out he's affiliated with one of these incredibly bad gangs that from Venezuela that was all, you know, news to us, but now we all have to learn about Venezuelan gangs. And his brother was taken into custody and let go, and sanctuary cities protected them. The government, the federal and sanctuary city and state governments, are responsible for Ms. Riley's murder. And the idea that the president didn't acknowledge that is both morally troubling, but also is political malpractice. It's the kind of thing he had an opportunity to kind of put distance between himself and his kookier left-wing supporters, a kind of sister soldier moment, they used to say back when Bill Clinton did this kind of thing. Because Bill Clinton, whatever you say about him, was a masterful politician. President Biden, you know, besides just the policy being bad, he has completely flubbed the politics of immigration issue in general and the murder of this poor woman in particular.
Yeah, and you mentioned Bill Clinton, and recently on a program here, I went back and played a statement from his State of the Union address in which he talked about clamping down on illegal aliens.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, again, does Bill Clinton believe anything one way or the other? Who knows? But the point is, he understood that this mattered to people, and he was willing to, you know, shift on a dime. It's not that way anymore. This president just isn't very good at politics. But also, the Democratic Party has radicalized on immigration in a way that makes it hard for Biden, even if he wanted to change direction.
We got to take a break here, friends, a quick break. We'll come back and we'll find out what's going on with Haiti right now and the collapse of that nation. And the threat to America. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
Our society is being influenced by the entertainment media, and we don't even realize it. Why is it that many Christians entertain themselves by watching movies or programs that take God's name in vain, or feature sensual activity on Saturday night, and then go to church on Sunday to praise His name? That's the underlying message in the DVD, Power of the Air, by Dave Cristiano. This moving story features a missionary from Africa who warns that the church in America is being deceived and in great danger. A Christian that hears this message is convicted and makes a significant change in his life and sets out a plan to reach his city with the gospel. Watch this story unfold in the DVD, Power of the Air. Available now for a donation of $18, call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Immigration enforcement hanging in the balance right now across our nation. Mark Krikorian is with us today. He is executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. Their website, cis.org. And friends, they are writing daily on matters that are going on. And if you want to stay abreast, I know we have many people right now along the border in Arizona tuning in. Your state bordering Mexico, at Texas, a number of Texans tuning in here to the program, New Mexico, California, CIS.org. If you want to know what's really taking place, you're not going to get it from the legacy media. And we would encourage you to do just that by staying informed. Mark, right now we're observing what's happening in Haiti right now. Really, the collapse of government there. Their leadership has, you know, left the country, and there is certainly the concern of criminal Haitians coming into the United States. Give us your perspective on Haiti here at this point.
Well, there's a concern even for, you know, non-criminal Haitians
coming
in
mass,
in huge numbers. I mean, Haiti is a messed up place. Everybody knows that who follows the news. And the danger, obviously, for us is that it's going to lead to large numbers of people getting on boats and leaving. This has happened before. It happened in the early 90s. And it's obviously an immediate threat for the Dominican Republic, which is next door. It's shares the same island, and guess what? Dominican Republic last year started building a wall on the border with Haiti, and then obviously in Bahamas as well, which is right there next door. Lots of islands. They have lots of Haitian illegal aliens. We help them stop people there. But the danger is, will large numbers of people make it through to Florida? And then what do we do about it? And so the interesting thing is that in the 90s, this was an issue. There were Cuban and Haitian rafters, they called them, got on rafts. And the Supreme Court ruled that the Coast Guard could return people to Haiti without hearings, without any asylum, shmasylum, none of that stuff, if they got them on the high seas before they got into U.S. territorial waters. It was overwhelming. It was like a 7-2 or 7-1 decision. I forget, but it was an overwhelming decision. And so I think even this administration is going to make sure that they don't have huge numbers of Haitians washing up in Florida. Because on top of all the other immigration problems they have, that would be the straw that broke the camel's back. It's just so it's a concern, obviously. I'm not panicked about it because I just think for pure self-preservation purposes, this administration is not going to let that happen. Maybe I'll be wrong. I mean, you know, they keep, meeting your worst expectations. But if I had to guess, I think they're going to make sure this happens way offshore, no movie cameras, TV cameras, and they're going to just grab people up if they're in boats and take them back to Haiti and drop them off on the shore.
Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Your questions as it pertains to immigration or brief comments, 800-733-9829. Mark, let's hit another issue. And really, a number of eyebrows were raised regarding Tyson Foods. Reportedly laying off some 1,300 staffers at their poultry and meat processing plants in a number of states while intending to hire illegal aliens. I mean, should this not be a wake-up call to us as a nation?
It should be, but you know, this kind of thing happens over and over again in one form or another. And what Tyson's decided, it's even worse, actually, than this. They've laid off all kinds of American and probably legal immigrant workers, too, what they're going to do is at the same time, they launched a program to hire so-called asylum seekers. These are illegal aliens the administration let in from New York and give them free immigration lawyers to help them stay in the United States. So it's not even just hiring people who snuck across the border. It's helping them stay here after they illegally came across the border, and, you know, why they hire them. And they're, like I said, they laid off a whole bunch of Americans and probably legal immigrants who are already working for them. It's appalling. And I don't even know what they're thinking. I think it's virtue signaling on their part, and they get to feel, you know, at the country club, they're, you know, they get pats on the back or something. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
We know this is a very contentious year right now, politically speaking. We've got the elections that are before us here in November, the presidential preference primaries going on right now, but it seems to be a lockup on both sides of the aisle here. Give us your perspective. I know your organization, we too, are nonpartisan. We don't tell people who to vote for or not, but take us down that road. What are we looking at if there's no change in administration in the next 4 years versus one that there is a change in administration?
Yeah, I mean, if President Biden gets reelected or whoever, I mean, if it ends up being Vice President Harris or whatever, you're going to just see this continue for, you know, four more years after the election. And, you know, we're talking, like I said, we're running at something like 2 million illegal immigrants, either affirmatively just let into the country or sneaking by the Border Patrol that's, you know, overwhelmed and can't keep track of them. That would be, you know, another second term would be another potentially 8 million extra illegal aliens. I mean, it really is incredible. And the way I put it was that there's a real danger that with another term of another Biden administration term, that the immigration law will become like one of those state laws you hear about every once in a while that are completely irrelevant, but nobody got around to repealing them. South Carolina has some law, I think it's still on the books, that you're not allowed to keep a horse in your bathtub. Who knows why ever they passed that, something from the 1800s. The danger is the immigration law becomes something like, you know, don't keep a horse in your bathtub. It's on the books, but nobody pays the slightest attention to it anymore because the administration refuses to enforce it.
Friends, that's certainly what we're up against right now, and we're going to the phone lines. We've got a couple open lines yet, 800-733-9829. Friends, your observation where we are at as a nation right now as it relates to this matter of immigration. We see the matters going on in the state of Texas right now. I'd like to hear from Texans as it relates to this issue. Others of you in border states as well, 800-733-9829. We've got Blanche calling in from Ohio. Hi, Blanche, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here listening, and all them peoples in that prisons that they got down there, we're paying for them. We're paying for them to be in them prisons. I think they should take them all and drop them off in some other country. But I know they ain't going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to put a stop to all these people coming into our country because they're going to destroy our country. That's their whole idea. And that's what I've got to say about it.
Thank you, Blanche. Thank you for the call here. And, you know, Blanche brings up a point here. So I talked about all those convictions that we have right now in the state of Texas alone.
Yep.
Taxpayers are footing the bill for this.
No, they are. There's no question about it. There's always kind of a, you know, you sort of have to make a decision. If you do deport somebody without jail time, then the guy basically gets away with his crime and then may try to sneak in again. In other words, I think there's an argument for, especially for more serious crimes, even if we have to pay for it, to lock them up in jail.
Yeah.
Less serious crimes, no. But the question that shouldn't be a debate at all is that when there is an illegal immigrant or a legal immigrant who committed a serious crime and, you know, that would make him deportable, when that person finishes his jail term, that he should be immediately handed over to ICE and sent and thrown out of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't always happen. So there are sanctuary states and sanctuary cities that won't tell ICE when they're going to be releasing people from jail, and they just let them go. And they stay here. And that's something that everybody should agree on under any circumstances. None of those people should be able to be let go into the country. They should be handed over to ICE and thrown out.
We have John calling from Tollesboro, Kentucky. John, you're on the air.
Yes, two comments. I don't think they ought to put them in jail, and I don't think they ought to let them go. I think they ought to put them in a chain gang like they used to and make them work it off and pay for a ticket. When that ticket's paid for, take them back over.
Hmm.
so their debt's paid for. That's one comment. Number two is these unions, which I can't figure out, and I've been involved in them, and they're pro-Democrat, but yet they let all these illegals in here, and they're going after union jobs, too. I've been on construction sites where the Mexicans, and they came in here illegal, were working on union jobs. Somehow they got a Social Security number, and they start working on these jobs. Hmm. And these union reps, I don't know if they're pushing for this also.
Well, you know, yeah, thank you. I got your comment there, but let me just have you comment, Mark, on this aspect where unions very heavily Democrat support, and yet these are the ones who are coming in to perhaps take their jobs away.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it used to be until the 90s, the organized labor, the AFL-CIO especially, was at the forefront of fighting for tough immigration enforcement. They were, in fact, the only major political interest pushing to enforce immigration laws. Cesar Chavez, who the left now has turned into some hero, he was a labor leader, and he was very strongly against illegal immigration and in favor of border control, very much so. It's almost shocking when you read the stuff. What happened, though, I think, is that as union membership, as Americans members in unions, and I'm talking private sector unions, not the government unions, as they left, the union leadership basically figured, okay, the American people have given up on us. We're giving up on them. We're just going to import somebody else to be members of our unions. Mm. And they've become more like European labor unions that are culturally leftist, because it used to be American unions were economically on the left in favor of more government intervention and what have you, but they were strongly conservative and culturally conservative, very much so. They were the ones that prevented businesses, corporations from selling out to the communists during the Cold War. It was unions that insisted that. Now, totally flipped. They're just a regular left-wing, culturally left-wing force, and ultimately, open borders trumps everything. And, you know, if a worker, an American union worker, is harmed by ongoing immigration, too bad, because immigration is more important to them than American workers.
John, thanks for the call. We're going to Mary next in Glendale, Arizona. And Mary, you're on the air.
Hi, I really want to say this because before the election, I saw on Newsmax Biden at some kind of function, and he was basically discussing how to change the ethnicity of a nation. And I remember him mentioning 2 million people, and after a few years, you've changed the nation. Hmm. And he was giving like a talk at it looked like some kind of dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to, because everybody talks about this stuff, but nobody seems to have seen this. I used to watch Fox News and Newsmax in the middle of the night when I was doing housework for my mm-hmm. paraplegic boyfriend. So I saw lots of this. I saw the Burisma thing, too, where he gave the talk on
sure.
getting that DA.
Tell you what, we're up against a break, Mary, but I'll have our guests just comment on this issue here and certainly changing the face of the nation with what's happening here, even at the border. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I heard CBS report on something I wasn't sure I would ever hear, and that is on the red heifers in Israel. CBS News is reporting, indeed, what we have reported now for quite some time, the five red heifers that have gone from Texas to Israel. If one or more can be qualified as able to be sacrificed, this will be the ashes mixed with water that will purify a temple or a tabernacle. But even CBS acknowledged that the October 7th attack on Israel was related to these heifers. Listen.
In a recent speech, a Hamas spokesman blamed the Jews for bringing red cows to the Holy Land. The cows he's talking about at a secure, undisclosed location are these, red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple in Jerusalem.
Amazing, my friends. Keep your eye on Israel and Jerusalem.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today is Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. And again, friends, you'll want to jot down their website, cis.org, cis.org. So, Mark, we had the previous caller from Arizona talking about, you know, watching President Biden talking about changing the face of the nation, or changing the nation, can do it with just, you know, X number million of individuals. You familiar with such a talk that he gave? But one thing is certain, he is implementing, his goal of changing this nation.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I haven't watched the whole speech that the caller referred to, but I've seen it. And this was one more example of people promoting immigration saying that there's no plan to change the ethnic composition of America, and it's good that it's happening. They say both things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And look, immigrants do assimilate when they come here. They become more like us, but we also become more like them. It's a two-way street. And the way to keep America American is to have smaller numbers of immigrants, so that if there's a handful of people in a larger community, instead of meeting them halfway, they end up having to become mostly like you, and they have a small effect on changing the society they come into. When you have huge numbers of immigrants, we're just legal immigrants, we take a million a year, on top of the million plus illegals that Biden is letting in, and then another extra million that sneak in every year. That starts to change the society they're coming into in a way that's problematic. It's too much of it. There's always going to be change. You know, the ancient Greeks said you can never put your foot in the same river twice because the water is different. You know what I mean? And that's always going to happen. Change, though, should happen slowly, and it should happen in small amounts. And that applies to immigration especially, and that is not what we are doing now.
We've got Jerry holding the longest in Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just have a couple comments. I'm a naturalized citizen. It took me a while to do that. And I have an uncle who is a doctor, general practitioner. He's been waiting around for 12 years. I don't know if maybe they can speed up the legal immigration. Maybe people wouldn't try to come in illegally so much. And then my second comment is I heard that they're not taking any fingerprints or blood samples from people that are coming in illegally. I mean, isn't that kind of like a security issue there?
Yeah.
If they do have crime, shouldn't they have some sort of like identifying marker at least?
Great, great issues here, Jerry. The DNA, they're supposed to be collecting DNA, I understand, Mark, but that's not happening. And here, so that's one issue. He's also mentioned, you know, we had to wait many years to get in here illegally. And boy, what a slap in the face to those who follow the rule of law.
Yeah, so the DNA thing first. They're supposed to be taking DNA of people who bring kids with them and say, hey, this is my kid, because kids are kind of a golden ticket to be released. There's loopholes in the law that allow that. The Biden administration stopped doing DNA tests to make sure this is, in fact, your kid and not somebody you rented or are trafficking in for some illicit purpose. So that's just outrageous. As far as the legal stuff goes, there's always going to be more people who want to immigrate than we're going to want to let in. So there's always going to be people who say, why can't I get in? Well, you can't, because there's a limit. There's a nightclub. There's a line, and they only let in so many people. That's kind of what it amounts to. But people who are already here to get naturalized, they often end up suffering because the agency, it's called U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, part of Homeland Security, the one that does all that stuff, they're also giving work permits and what have you to all the illegal aliens that Biden is letting in. And they're prioritizing that over dealing with, say, the wife of a U.S. citizen who wants to get her citizenship. I know a guy, actually, in Mexico. I just met with him a few weeks ago. His wife's paperwork is so held up that they're still living in Mexico because she can't get the paperwork from the federal government to come into the country. And this is legit. The wife of an American citizen is not a fraudulent thing, but they are at the back of the line because letting illegal aliens in is job one for these guys.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. And another issue that just came up before me here recently as well is that those who are entering the country legally have to go through getting, you know, COVID shots and all these other immunizations, but those who come across illegally get a free pass. Yep. Barry in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim. Isn't the scripture, the nation that turns itself from God shall be turned into hell, have great significance in this? I mean, because that's what we see going on in our country. And, you know, it's all, you know, we can try to do things in our own flesh, which we need to do to try to sustain this matter. But, you know, it all boils down to a spiritual matter. You know, nothing will change till the church changes its spiritual direction and gets down to serious business with God, because it all starts with the church.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you for raising that issue. Beth in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, two things. One thing is that the government, its duty actually for the people of the United States is to protect us from domestic and foreign terrorist enemies, whatever you want to call them. They're supposed to protect us, which they don't do. They just let them come in here to get rid of us. But the other thing, I take issue a little bit with your guest regarding people coming here to assimilate. I think there's one exception, really. I think that's the people that practice Islam, because Islam is their government. And you can see that in Michigan, and you can see it in Minnesota. They follow their religion and their law. They do not want to be a part of our government, and that even goes into their financial situation.
Okay. Thank you, Beth. Mark, we're down to 60 seconds. Your response.
Yeah, I mean, we've written some on that issue, and you can't just say, okay, well, you call yourself a Muslim, so we're not going to let you in. But what we can do and we need to do more of, we just wrote about this, is, like, ask people, do you believe in, you know, female genital mutilation? Do you believe in freedom of religion, even if it's, you know, something that's opposed to yours? And we should be screening people out. And if that ends up screening out more people who identify as Muslims, so be it. The fact is, we need to have a yardstick about what we allow in this country. And if you don't believe in that, I don't mean if you're a terrorist, obviously, but if you just don't even believe in the basic principles of a free society, we should be able to say, sorry, you don't get to come in.
Wow. We apologize to others on hold right now. We've less than a quarter minute left in the program and just don't have time for additional calls. Mark Krikorian is our guest. Their website, Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. Mark, thank you for carving out the time and joining us here on the broadcast today.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
Thank you. And friends, keep tuned on these issues. And right now, today, oral arguments going on in regard to the Texas case. And the matter is going to continue to unfold, no doubt be litigated for some time to come. But as even the other caller alluded to just really keep this nation in prayer, very much a spiritual battle that's underway. God bless you, folks. Thanks so much for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.